and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
How are you, Sebastian?
Oh my god, I am in pain all over my body.
And is this fatigue? Are you a fatty gay? Or are you just, you know, generally...
Did you call me a fatty gay?
No, I was speaking in French, don't you know?
You really weren't.
I thought it was fatty gay, is how you say tired.
Well, I was a fatty gay, and then I decided maybe I should do a push-up or a sit-up or burn a calorie.
And that's why you've gone from a fatty gay to fatigued.
Yeah, the thing is, though, that it comes up every so often, but I do have multiple autoimmune disorders, one of them being...
I mean, you're two steps short of lupus, which makes you a werewolf, I think.
I probably do have lupus. I have chronic fatigue syndrome, so certain kinds of exercise actually take me days to recover from.
Jeez.
But not other things, because, like, there have been times where, in the past, where we've gone out dancing, and, like, an hour and a half later, I'm still out there, no breaks, and you're like, what are you doing?
Whereas to me, I'm, like, KO'd for three days. I'm like, I'm sorry. I went dancing last week, so I'm still out.
Yeah. I mean, I can do anything endurance related. I really should, like, not do push-ups and sit-ups and do jogging or something.
Now, Can Queer is an LGBT talk show, and not an awful lot of LGBT that's been going on. Everyone's been at home.
The news is everything is canceled.
Everything continues to be canceled.
And there's a few sort of not safe for work stories that boil down to...
People are at home with more time on their hands.
People are at home with more time on their hands. And some people are not staying home and going out and doing stuff. So there actually is a follow-up from a story from last week and the week before. So I mentioned the winter party in Miami, which is one of the world's largest circuit parties. And this... was on the first day of recommended social isolation that it was that the party happened. A lot of people decided to go anyway because, you know, it the sort of quarantine aspect of things hadn't been in full swing yet. So a lot of people are just like, hey, whatever, I paid my money, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And
actually, there was a Toronto man.
Yeah, so
who
far
came back and was like, I thought it was like a meh, whatever.
Yeah. So far, every person who went to the winter party who's gotten tested. Has tested positive. And as of yesterday, the first person to pass away from the coronavirus after having attended the winter party. So, and it's really interesting how the media is handling it because they're all like, you know, it was a healthy man in his late 30s. And they looked at his Instagram and it's like a shirtless, muscular gay man doing yoga poses on the beach, whether he had been up for 18 hours drinking and partying, whether or not he was a smoker, whether or not he was on illicit substances on the time. Maybe he traveled across the country and was just fatigued from, what's the time difference thing?
Jet lag,
that's the one. Like, in some way guaranteed he was immunocompromised while at this party. So it's a real issue, and they're starting to run into people sort of shrugging it off, going, well, it's an old people disease. And this is definitely a public service announcement that we should participate in.
The circuit parties, which, like you said, in a couple of weeks ago, were these big parties where people dance for 12 hours, if not more. Like, we're talking techno music that goes on for a long time.
Like, each individual song is like 20 minutes.
And you know, typically they're attended by beautiful Adonis-type men with little clothing and lots of oil on their bodies. Like, that's, you know, the gist.
Some of the stereotypes about gay men are true, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone, a lot of gay men went to this winter party, even when...
And bisexual
alarms
men.
Were starting to go ringing about COVID-19.
Well, this is one of the issues that I wish more people were up on. COVID is a virus, okay? And the way that we talk about bacteria and viruses, we tend to use them interchangeably, but they're really not the same. Bacteria, any hole's a goal. They go for anything moist. You can get syphilis in your nose and eyes and ears if you're creative enough on getting it in there. It's a bacterial infection. Whereas viruses tend to target specific tissues. So when you're talking about susceptibility, and this is, by the way, I am not a medical doctor. This is me talking from the perspective of a biologist. Okay. So the way that viruses work is they target individual proteins on the surface of your cells. So it does not care how old you are. It does not care about your immune system. It doesn't care about anything. It either you have those proteins or you don't.
So you're telling me that the coronavirus isn't like on the equivalent of Tinder, swiping left or right?
No, it really isn't. No.
You know,
no.
Oh, young guy in his 20s, swipe.
No.
Young guy's in his 20s, swipe. Old man in his 50s, you know, like that one.
Yeah,
right. Go for that one, yeah.
It's really just a matter of, once you catch it, what is your ability to fight it off? That's where the other factors come in.
That's where people start talking about these scenarios where, you know, worst case, we could be seeing 60, 70, 80% of the population infected. You know, that's a lot of people with mild symptoms.
There's always going to be people who are not at all infected. So here's, actually, I thought about this when I was in the shower the other day and it made me laugh. Bit of an aside, but not necessarily. Most cats, something like 80% of all cats in the world, house cats, have the feline equivalent of HIV, okay? But they have this, they don't have any symptoms, because the way that they accounted for this is they actually absorbed the viral DNA into their own genome. So what happens is whenever feline HIV gets into their bloodstream, it kind of turns into that scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where they're like, oh no, we already got one. And that's basically what happens. And there's evidence that in human DNA, we have hundreds of viruses just integrated into our DNA. And we're completely immune to it, because whenever this ancient virus comes along, our body goes, no, no, sorry, we are stocked up. We don't want no more.
We're full. We're full. No more room for Ebola. We're full.
Which is why people keep calling it a novel coronavirus, because there is no equivalent and nobody has that kind of resistance to it. So viruses are different.
We saw a conspiracy theory, and I sometimes I see these conspiracy theories come up and I'm like, oh my God, just like, did they bump their heads on the way to work?
Probably,
you know,
yeah.
Crazy. So this one conspiracy theory was somebody wrote a paper on the novel coronavirus in 2015 or 16.
Okay.
And it was like, look, the academics knew about this secret virus, you know, way back when. And if you think, not many people know this, but a lot of thought went into calling it COVID-19, the novel coronavirus 19, is because that's the different. It's just like, it's what it says on the tin. It's novel because it's new. Yeah, nobody saw of it before. It's based on the coronavirus, whatever that is, but that's a family of viruses.
Yeah, coronaviruses are just, it's a type of virus. Actually, you've probably seen pictures of them all. It's like that ball with the spikes coming out of it.
Yeah.
That's that kind of virus. That's
it just means it's new, it's this type of virus,
well, corona,
and we found it in 2019.
Corona's Latin literally for the name crown. For it.
Yeah.
So it's just the crowned virus, and colds are coronaviruses, but so is MERS, and a lot of people forget MERS existed. There's MERS and SARS, and they're also coronaviruses. And yeah, no, it's, and I keep accidentally calling it the Corvid virus, which is the Latin term for ravens, crows, and magpies.
But it's called COVID-19.
I know, but I keep calling it Corvid-19.
Oh, COVID-19.
Yeah.
No, that's not quite right.
Yeah.
But it's the idea.
But it's got like, kind of like, know, this Black Death.
Someone was like, oh, we've discovered it all these years ago. No. People discovered that the idea of there being a new type of this virus. Because, you know, new types of different viruses will come and go.
Yeah.
As we, you know, as time happens. But this particular one is separate. So I thought out conspiracy theory and I was like, oh, come on.
I like conspiracy theories.
Let's break it down. The name is literally, it's not like Ebola or the plague. It's literally just describing the ingredients on the side of a tin. Novel, yes. Corona, yes. 2019, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. We'll call it COVID-19.
It's kind of just a description of
it literally is. It's like the ingredients list on the virus.
I'm not going to lie, though, now that you're talking about conspiracy theories, I used to be one of those people who every so often I would watch like 10, 15 minutes of Alex Jones because it made me laugh.
Oh, gosh. That
and here's the thing. It turns out that something like 80% of his viewership were people who thought he was hilarious and just thought he was like, they thought he was satire at first. My brother used to get up at 6 a.m. on Sunday to watch televangelists, and for the longest time, my mom was concerned about him until he told her that he thought they were joking, and he just got up because he thought they were hilarious.
We took a look at our earshot distribution system, the system where musicians, Canadian musicians, can share with campus and community radio stations directly via an online database. And we're going to start with Gigi French.
Okay.
With Tagui Courtois. Oh my god. Do you want to have a go with that?
Oh, you close the window. I can't. Tagi. I looked. I can't find that word anywhere. I think she made that up. Tagi ki tren. So I think it's actually you're dragging your guitar.
Okay, yeah.
But I've never seen the word gi before. I think it's just short for guitar.
And after that, it is Time Spent Howling by the Audio Boffins.
Okay.
Both Canadian. Our theme this week seems to be percussion.
Yeah, we weird like and the, interesting the, percussion. Yeah.
We like the percussion sounds on a lot of these. So we will be back right after this. Tu te plains du cafetan en gardant chez toi, c'est pourquoi quand ton appart est dégueulasse. Ta chambre à coucher est si plate. Ta chambre à coucher est si plate. Laisse bien au client, s'agit de tes ailes bas. Ta chambre à coucher est si plate. J'ouvrirai toutes les fenêtres en mettant pleine plante grimpante. Et lorsque le soir tombera, j'allumerai tes petites lampes en humain, sentira le bouton. Ah, toilette pue comme de la crasse. Si ta toilette pue comme de la crasse. En sortant de ta douche, je sais pas que ta serviette me touche. Ta salle de bain pue comme de la crasse. Et ta cuisine est en bain trash. Si ta cuisine est en bain trash. Il y a plus d'affaires louches que de choses pour faire de la bouffe. Ta cuisine est en bain trash. J'ouvrirai toutes les fonds. Mettant pleine de plantes bonnes. Et lorsque le soir tombera, j'allumerai tes petites lampes en humain, sentiront le bouton. Joue-la donc ta guide qui traîne. Je te fredonnerai une chanson. Et chante-la en son, nous exorciserons ces démons. Ton humain sentiront le bouton. Ton humain sentiront le bouton.
red cigarettes in boxcars, 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 bracketing through snow toward lonesome farms and Grandfather Night, who burn cigarette holes in their arms, protesting the narcotic tobacco age of capitalism, who broke down crying in white gymnasiums, naked and trembling before the machinery of other skeletons, who hiccup endlessly trying to giggle but wound up with a sob behind a partition in a Turkish bath when the blonde and naked angel came to pierce them with a sword, who lost their love boys to the three old shrews of fate.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. So I do want to let you know that...
And I'm Sebastian.
I mean, if you have to introduce yourself, whatever, that's fine. Pride Winnipeg issued a statement on the 27th of March, so a couple of days before time of recording here. A statement signed by Barry Kalinzig, the president of Winnipeg Pride. Their Fierté Canada Pride, so the Canadian Pride... moves around. A lot of them do, like the World Pride rotates around different cities. Euro Pride rotates.
It rotates between cities.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't rotate around the city.
Just like circling them, like a moat. No,
that would be a fun pride, though.
Just going around the city.
Yeah, yeah. Like get a party bus that just
through all the suburbs.
I mean, it wouldn't work for Toronto because it's a lake on one side. Like circumnavigating Toronto would be, because you'd just have to go down Lake Shore.
You'd have to get one of those buses that it's also a boat.
Yes. What is it called? An amphibious bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you could circle.
Or a hovercraft.
Exactly.
I would pay for a hovercraft.
Anyway, so Fierté Canada Pride circles between cities.
Okay.
And this year, it was supposed to be in Winnipeg, May 24th through to the 31st.
Okay.
And but now they've rescheduled it to September 4th through to the 13th. With the conference, the Human Rights Conference, taking place shortly after. So, I mean, it's good. For me, this shows that we have things to look forward to.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the things I was reading about the music industry and musicians and live musicians, we really focused this week, for example, on Canadian musicians,
mm-hmm.
Is that this summer, even if we come out of this in July, June, July-ish,
yeah.
All of the live events have pretty much been cancelled coast to coast to coast.
Yeah.
Like, all of your normal summer festival circuits have all closed shop.
Yeah.
A lot of people left unemployed by then. A lot of artists, they make most of their money not from your
not album sales.
Spotify
yeah.
streaming doesn't
nope.
bring home the moolah.
Nope.
It's the live touring that brings in a lot of income.
Also because the way that the internet has changed the model of how the music industry works, a lot of them give away their music for free as advertising for the mm-hmm. public events.
Yeah, because they make more of their money off of the concerts and the yeah. gigs and the festival circuit.
Well, and the swag. Like, yeah. there's a lot of bands that make almost their entire income from the t-shirt that you buy when you go to the concert. Which is why, especially in the rock and punk communities, a lot of people, like, it's a thing of principle that you go to a concert, you buy a t-shirt. Because that's, you know that the musicians aren't going to be making their money otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about showing that support.
And pro wrestling.
So with that being said, there's a lot of these folks need some help.
Yeah.
I did notice that there is a Montreal-based musician called The Gays.
The Gays.
Okay. The Gays, yes. He did send me one of his tracks. The particular track didn't work. We took a listen to it earlier and it kind of cut off early. So we'll reach back out and try and see if we can get one of his tracks for next week. But The Gays was one of the many musicians that are just like giving free performances from the living room.
Yes. Yeah. yeah.
And it's, I mean, partly I assume they're trying to fight boredom. But if you've got to think about it, you know, all of these musicians, they make their living at these festivals.
Yeah.
And just like all of these pride parades that are being cancelled or postponed, there is a lot of entertainment that's being cancelled, postponed, affecting the musicians and artists.
Also, artists only make an income when there's awareness around them.
Yeah.
So this is basically free advertising. I mean, it's normally crass to say, you know, they did it for the exposure, because a lot of artists end up going either unpaid or underpaid.
Yes.
If they're only being paid in exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, basically keeping the engine running for when things ease up is the best they can do for now anyway.
Well, there was one story of an artist that doesn't need really much more exposure than what they've already got.
Madonna?
Nearly.
Cher?
No.
Kylie
Cher
Minogue?
Deserves all of her exposure. How dare you? No, I am referring to the Village People.
Oh, yes, yes.
The Village People.
Yes!
YMCA fame.
Yeah, they got
accepted. That's the YMCA.
Was it the Smithsonian?
No, the U.S. Library of Congress.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Has now sort of inducted the YMCA by the Village People
yeah.
into the Library of Recordings by the U.S. Library
Which
of Congress.
Which means that the American taxpayer is going to be spending money to preserve it for perpetuity. So in 600 years, people will still be able to hear
the YMCA.
The YMCA. And it also means that every time there's a change in format, every time there's a change in media, every time there's like some kind of update in how audio recordings are done, they're going to update it so like if MP3s go to the way of the dodo and then they go into some other medium of music, they're going to make sure that it's still accessible in that new medium.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really...
So the U.S. Congress has made sure that the YMCA is yeah. now available until the end of days.
Like, this is a declaration that people in 600 years should hear this. Like, that's what it means to get into the Smithsonian. And it's not even their best song.
The U.S. Library of Congress.
Yeah, sorry. The Smithsonian is a branch of that, but it is a separate branch.
But I think one of Tina Turner's songs also got in there. So you got the YMCA going into the Library of Congress.
Yeah. The number of home break-in entries in North America has plummeted, but the number of workplace break-in entries has skyrocketed because people go where there are no other people to report on them.
Yeah, people breaking into small businesses that have shut shop.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
So there is an issue with that.
Well, moving on. We're going to jump to a song by Cassidy Kivett called Let Your Heart Take Flight. I love the percussion on this one. And it reminded you of Woodkid and Iron.
Yes.
And we will be playing that as well.
Afterwards, yeah. Woodkid is French, though, and he has a name that I tried to get you to pronounce, and you did not do a good job.
No.
No.
I pronounce it Woodkid.
Yeah.
Anyways, we shall be back.
Do you ask why you're always in wonder? If you're more than a lonely number? Hidden world full of love and adventure waiting for you to explore. Can you fly, soar higher than mountains? Take a dive in the deepest of oceans. Find the one who will unlock your heart and from whom you can't be apart. Come and let your heart take flight. Trust your fate, it's always right. The light in the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight. I see doubt, but you have pure intentions. Look around, let go all your questions. In time you'll come to realize you can live without fear in your eyes. Come and let your heart take flight. Trust your fate, it's always right. The light and the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight. Come and let your heart take flight. Trust yourself, the time is right. The light and the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight. Take flight. Trust your fate. It's always right. The light and the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight. Come and let your heart take flight. Trust yourself, the time is right. The light and the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight. Come and let your heart take flight. Trust your fate, it's always right. The light and the dark will soon unite. So come and let your heart take flight.
Welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith. And you're Sebastian. I thought I would introduce you this time.
I already said that last time.
You were very upset that I didn't.
We don't need to do that every time now, apparently.
Oh my gosh, well, I'm sorry about this. I just can't even. Now, let me tell folks about a man. I want to tell them about a man. And
a man in specific or a fabled man?
Not a fabled man. Not like the concept of man.
Does he have thews?
Does he have what, sorry?
Thews.
Like views on objects?
No. Thews is a term that's now archaic. It kind of faded out in the Victorian period. It's muscly thighs.
No, he doesn't have thews. well, actually, he may have. He had asthma.
Oh.
Just a small, slight...
you can have fuse and asthma.
I mean, they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
So, Kurz Kelly, young man, yeah. He was... he's openly gay.
Okay.
He went to the United States. He's American. He's born in the United States. But he went to New York to learn to be a dancer. Did quite well for a while, was a professional dancer to a degree, but then realized had a bit more of a calling as a nurse. So went into being a nurse. Like I said, suffers from a mild case of asthma, otherwise healthy.
Yeah.
Kurz Kelly, the nurse, contracted COVID-19 just last week and immediately was bedridden by it. His colleagues at the hospital said that, you know, sometimes he was seen not wearing personal protective equipment.
Right.
But at the same time, Mount Sinai West in New York also was reported to have
Shortages,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, their regional doctor representatives say that there were no shortages, but nurses on the ground have said, you know, very often it was limited to certain staff members, certain numbers are limited for each staff.
Yeah, some of this is an artifact of ongoing issues outside of this about people on the ground versus what the people sitting at desks say is a sufficient amount of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this is just the medical system. American medical system is a little bit worse because Canada has its own problems as well.
Yeah.
We are not perfect.
I mean, there's also supply lag.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have enough of object X, you know,
it
across
takes 2 weeks to ship
across
in.
our town. The other hospital has 5 of object X, but to get it from there to here takes a little time to get, you know.
Yeah.
I understand the logistic lag and so on.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So Kurz Kelly is taken ill. In, I think, Italy, something like 8 to 10% of all COVID cases are hospital staff.
Oh.
Which is a huge issue. And a lot of people are talking about stay home, wash your hands, all of these protections. They're also to protect health workers.
Yeah.
So Kurz Kelly texts his sister and he said, you know, worst case has happened. I've caught COVID. It's not too bad right now.
Mm.
Bit of asthma, otherwise healthy. Don't tell my parents. Don't tell mum and dad. It'll just stress them out. 2 days later, Kaya's passed away.
Oh.
Just because the virus really took a hold.
Yeah.
Health workers often get, you know, most people, if you're bumping into somebody in the street or you've sat on a chair or touched the surface, you're getting a relatively small dose.
Yeah.
If you are being exposed, it's a relatively small dose and you can wash your hands and clear it. But the concentration of people with COVID-19 in areas where they're being taken care of in a hospital, it, like, those doses that you're exposed to are so much higher.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it's such a stronger whack of COVID-19. And I wanted to tell this little story about Kurz Kelly because he's 48. He's not an old man. Young, healthy, gay man, going about his business, wanted to be a professional dancer, took up nursing, and then within a week passed away.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that is affecting all people.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen places in Italy, a large gathering of gay men was broken up recently. And they're like, guys.
No, you're talking about the Spain story.
Was it Spain, not Italy?
Yeah, it was Spain. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you're not just putting each other at risk.
You're putting everyone you come
Everyone you come in contact with at risk. Your elderly neighbor, your own elderly parents or grandparents.
Yeah.
And also these various health workers. It's the health workers that are most vulnerable. So it's not a fun story.
No, it isn't.
It's a truth. And sometimes having a name and a face, and in this case, it's the young Kurz Kelly.
Hmm.
Not much older than you? 48?
Yeah, that's a bit older than me.
Bit older than you.
Yeah.
Much, much older than me.
Oh my God. But
still, a young man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that we all have an obligation to continue to take this seriously.
For sure, yeah. Well, I mean, I keep, over the past few weeks, off air, but between either recordings or before or after recordings, I've been mentioning, I keep mentioning the Black Death and bubonic plague, and you keep, a lot of people keep saying, like, why do you keep bringing that up? This is nothing like that. In terms of symptoms, in terms of transmission and all that, absolutely nothing at all alike. But it actually occurred to me it's probably a little bit more like cholera. And not because this has nothing to do with poo water, which is what cholera was all about. But rather, while cholera and the plague were happening, all people could do was look at what was going wrong with society and planning on how to fix that later. So a lot of the issues that we have now, a lot of people are looking at it going like, you know, our the way that we run homeless shelters is basically just designed to breed disease. The way that we run our prison system. Prison system, employment insurance. There's been a whole bunch of things kind of being exposed as having weak points in it, where now people are looking at it saying, like, how do we fix this so that when this is all over, we are a little bit more future-proof against this sort of thing happening again.
And that practice is vital, because Singapore had the run-in with SARS. And they future-proofed themselves for a virus outbreak.
They have one of the lowest rates of infection.
Yeah.
They are really doing...
They're still fighting it, like everybody else.
Well done, Singapore,
but you're right. Yeah. They looked at the SARS and H1N1 outbreaks, same with Vietnam and a few other East Asian countries.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, clearly we can't let that happen twice.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're very much right.
But also just stuff like shipping and international travel and I like the fact that Canada has fairly porous borders, but there's such a thing as porous borders to a fault. And, you know, even if we do keep the borders open, having the ability to slow them down in cases of emergency, I think is a positive thing. And we have very little infrastructure for slowing down the borders in cases like this. And now people are, I don't know, like, I just hope... I hope people can spin this into gold in the long run and find the weak points in society and fill them, such as, there's a new story that we forgot to talk about that I should bring up right now.
Which is?
The ongoing fight to lift the blood gay ban.
Yes, the gay blood ban.
Yeah.
So this is a ban that exists in Canada and as well as the States and a few other places.
Yeah.
Where the science just hasn't been able to back it up, and the science has led to a few countries removing the blood ban.
In 92, they could. But it is not 1992.
It's been a while since our listeners' sake, there is a screening question in the United States and in Canada which says, for a long time it says, have you ever had sex with if you're a man, have you had sex with another man? And if the answer is yes, they just automatically assume you have HIV. Yeah.
Gay and bisexual men.
Immediately ruled out. So
yeah,
ruled out all gay people de facto have AIDS, I think was the rough knowledge.
Yeah.
That's been proven to be ridiculous. And it really begged the question of the public blood system. Are you testing every batch, or are you batch testing some of it? Like, how are you not able to catch it? You should be able to identify tainted blood when it's given.
Even batch testing actually turns out to be a pretty effective technique. And they've been doing a very good job with batch testing for about 10 years now. So there's really no benefit.
So they have said, you know, okay, we agree. Assuming that all gay men just have AIDS is not reasonable.
Yeah.
Especially because in certain populations, it is straight women at the higher risk.
Yeah.
It is intravenous drug users, which are at higher risk.
Yeah,
there are many scenarios where gay men are the lowest risk.
So
those are things to consider. And there is a lot of people who just cannot donate blood simply because at some point in the last 6 months, they had sexual intercourse with their same-sex partner.
Yeah.
You know, they could have been married for 30 years, you know, and never looked at another man.
There's a current...
And they still count.
Temporary block on some trans people while they do research on whether or not the... Because they take hormone supplements, but they also take hormone blockers. And if those hormone blockers will affect other people when you get their blood.
Yeah.
So there is long-term research on that, looking at whether or not, for medical reasons.
But there's no medical reason why
a gay man by a healthy gay man
taking no medication,
because there's certain medications that if you're on those medications,
who is HIV negative, yeah, even if you got tested and proven the day of,
yeah,
who is HIV negative in a monogamous relationship with just one person who, yeah, is also HIV negative,
yeah,
they still cannot donate blood.
No.
Even when there's a crisis in the blood supply, yep, such as right now.
Yep.
So you're right. And I think it is through crisis that we sometimes see clarity.
Hopefully.
You know, crisis has often been the tipping point or the, yeah, pinnacle or the thing that inspires major change. Like, we think of the impact of 9/11, the impact of the Great Recession. When these crisis points happen, we're like, oh my God, maybe we shouldn't have a bank that's too big to fail.
A lot of modern technology surrounding food, so the discovery of vitamins, the discovery of pasteurization, and the invention of canning and food preservation, all came out of the famine that surrounded the French Revolution. So, I mean, though that was a moment of
crisis
making, yeah, gold for the future, because right now the food supply, I mean, if it weren't for tinning, I mean, how much food are you eating out of tins now that you normally wouldn't?
Quite a bit more than I would like. Yeah.
I mean, I eat a lot of tin food mostly because if you buy the,
you've been on like a taco kick though. I eat a lot of tacos
mostly because I'm gluten intolerant, and a lot of the gluten free breads are not on sale. But what they do have is an abundant supply of the special corn flour that you make tortillas with, and nobody knows how to use that stuff except for me and 20 other people. So the shelves are always full of masa harina, and I'm just making my own tortillas. Like,
so you've been on a taco diet.
Just for us, so many tacos. You know what? I'm not complaining though, because I love soft tacos. As you know, whenever it's like, do you want to go out? I'm like, soft tacos.
So we're gonna jump to a song. This is Tiny Bill Cody, "Ain't Got No Blues." And we'll be back. All of the artists have self-identified as QueerCon, so that's great. And
to do that anyway.
"Ain't Got No Blues," Tiny Bill Cody. We'll be back just after this.
Ain't got no blues, all I taste is sugar. Ain't got no blues, all I taste is sugar. Sweet sugar. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening. Put it in the water, give it to the baby. It's alright. Oh, it's alright. Oh, it's alright. Oh, it's alright. Some shit-ass corn, you cut it all down in a heap, you drive it some goddamn place where they mash it up like paste, then they boil it up like juice, like sticky, sticky ooze, that's clear and clean and worthless, it's got no trace of the earth left, it don't taste nothing but sweet, yeah, don't taste nothing but sweet. Then they pour that devil's sugar over every goddamn thing we eat. Ain't got no blues. All I taste is sugar. Ain't got no blues. All I taste is sugar. Sweet sugar. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening. Put it in the water, give it to the baby. It's alright. Ooh, it's alright. It's alright. Ooh, it's alright. Well, look at me, I'm soft and mild and precious. I got no lines or sides or corners or edges. Now my arms and my legs and my hands and my feet are no good. And I have to get my mom to come down and chew my food. And I can't so much as hold a word in my teeth. And I can't hold up so much as a belief.
or think of fart using any hard letters. I'm just a sloppy stick of butter, but I never felt better. Ain't got no blues. All I taste is sugar. Ain't got no blues. All I taste is sugar. Sweet sugar. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, put it in the water, give it to the baby, it's alright. Oh, 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 it's alright.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. Now, I don't suppose you've been watching the latest season of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I would rather eat glass.
Okay, as so that's a no.
You know my feeling.
You know, I'm a big fan of sugar glass. I think it looks really cool. I would eat sugar glass.
The stuff they smash each other over the head with in the movies?
No, well, no, I'm thinking like the stuff they put on cake, but you know, degrees.
Because when people hit each other with glassware in the movies, that's made out of sugar usually. Mm. Yeah, it's a special kind of edible glass.
Well, no, I'm not talking about movie props.
And then they foley in the sound of breaking glass later. It's pretty clever.
So, Sherry Pie, who is one of the contestants in RuPaul's Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
Now, you heard about the catfishing story that we talked about a little while ago. Do you recall when I was telling you about that?
Sorry, Windows 10 problems.
Oh my God, so many Windows 10. So Joey Googly Melly who is Sherry Pie, it's the alter ego.
Did you say Googly Belly?
No, I didn't. I said Googly Melly.
Okay.
Which I'm confident is how you say this name.
Okay.
How dare you? Oh my God, I can't pronounce names. It is a known fact on this show. I struggle with my own. Smith is very complicated. So, Sherry Pie, New York area drag queen, but was accused of catfishing a whole bunch of young actors and young models into sending inappropriate videos as she pretended to be a casting agent. Sherry Pie also confessed on Twitter to having done it.
Okay.
So, you know, and as a result, she was disqualified from season 12. But the reason why I bring it up is people were curious as to how they would respond to it in real time. Because, of course, the show's already been recorded, broadly speaking. And they're releasing them each week. So now they have like a pop-up text block at the start of each show saying Sherry Pie's been disqualified. And what fans have just noticed is iTunes released the international version sort of as soon as it's been broadcast.
Of the show?
Yeah, and what they did is some fans of the show have looked at the international version on iTunes.
Okay.
And looked at the broadcast version side by side.
Okay.
And they've actually cut out a lot of Sherry Pie.
Oh, wow.
So a lot more close-ups of papers, background shots, sort of camera moving, and a lot less close-ups and screen time for Sherry Pie. Because how do you disqualify somebody in a program that's still got, you know, six, seven episodes still to broadcast?
It's such a fine line as well, because, I mean, it's not quite a Me Too kind of a thing, because people did consent, but they weren't, it wasn't informed consent.
They were so, manipulated into
so
it.
So where does it fall? But like, you know, you can't accidentally, from the safety of your own home, without blackmail on the table, accidentally send a nude. So, I mean, like, it's kind of a...
But you can be coerced and manipulated into it.
That's why I said without blackmail. So, I mean, like, I mean, definitely a manipulation or trickery. So, I mean, it's in that gray area where I don't know if it should be illegal, but this is the right thing to do, of just disqualifying her and being like, we're going to cut her out as much as we can without ruining the integrity of the rest of the show. Because unless you're going to, like, blur her out in the background of all the group shots.
And that's just not practical. But a lot of people...
It could be funny if you do it right,
though. A lot of people were kind of concerned, because this came out shortly after Sherry Pye was revealed to be on the series.
Right.
And it all kind of snowballed within week one. And then by week two, they put the statement out that she's been disqualified.
Okay, yeah.
But there's still a lot of the show left, and she was a really strong contender. And people are like, you know what? With these drag queens, they can... If the one who wins, wins 100 grand.
Mm.
But the rest of them, what they win is their Instagram following, their ability to sell themselves with a larger market.
Yeah.
You know, the name recognition, the brand recognition, you know, raising their profile through one of the most widely seen drag shows in the world, you know. So for them, a lot of people were like, you know, you may well be disqualifying Sherry Pye, but now there will be weeks where she gets this unbridled exposure as a talented drag queen and can cash in on that. Or and is that something that you want to support?
As a drag queen, I've seen RuPaul. They're not all talented.
Well, I mean... Fair enough. But so this seems to be their approach, is that they're slowly taking an editing hacksaw and giving slight, as you know, removing her entirely is just not practical. She's in the group.
Except for canceling the entire show.
But it looks like that's what they're doing, is sort of editing her out. Do you think it's the right thing?
They could do some funny thing with like replacing her with a cartoon dog or something like that. I don't know. It depends. It depends on your sense of humor, what the budget is. But yeah, I think they did definitely probably the best option on the table.
The least worst.
The least worst option, yeah. Because, I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you would cancel it and then give everybody who ran in that series an opportunity to come back in the future. But that is such a money pit to do that. And the show, a lot of media these days are kind of on by the edge of their teeth, except for Disney. So their ability to just cancel everything and start again, it's not very practical. And it's not fair to the other people who were on in that season. It's not fair to what they did. It's not fair to the guests, the judges who show up and give their mediocre opinions. I'm not a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Definitely.
So, I mean, it's not fair on everyone else. I mean, the fact that they did what they did, I think, is probably a good compromise.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we go, I did want to say that with COVID-19, a lot more of you are staying at home. Don't forget, you can follow our show on Podbean on Spotify. If you want to keep an eye on that podcast,
send us a message. You have plenty of time in the day to send
us
a message.
You do have plenty of time in the day. Let us know what you think of Sebastian's opinions about RuPaul's Drag Race. And let's get some angry gay emails. But yes, there's that. But also be sure to tune into your local community radio stations. They're all working to make sure that your local community news is available to you. Latest updates from your local health authorities and more. We will continue to make our show available to them as they're carried on various broadcasts. Very exciting to be able to do our own little part of this. And take some time. Enjoy some good thumping music like we've selected. We're playing Irish Mayhem. I am a big fan of Irish Mayhem. She just looks like a no-nonsense lesbian. And identifies as queer con, so I imagine is a no-nonsense lesbian.
Yeah.
This is Deep Dark Woods. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening. You were mine.
my eye. Deep in the woods now, you and me. Deep in the woods now, no one will see. Some people will say that this is wrong, but they don't understand. Some people will say that this is wrong, but you've just taken my hand. Deep in the woods now, you and me. Deep in the woods now, no one will say. I have waited for so long for the woman of my dreams. Now I've just laid her down for her forever sleep. Are you insane?